Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Yeah.
Lose control, a body, a soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow. Don't get ahead, just jump into it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so glad you are starting your day with us here on Kim Pagano Show.
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent.
All right.
I got up. I bounced out of bed.
You bounced out of bed?
I did. I bounced out of bed like a rubber ball.
There you go. I kind of sat there for a moment, kind of got my positive thoughts together,
cool.
And then started my day. So, I want to let everybody know that this is your positive way to start your day. And
on Motivational Monday.
That's right. And
let's get motivated.
I am your host. I'm Kim Pagano. And I've got Dr. Stephen Trudeau in here. I've got Marilyn Wedgwood. Welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Kim and Steve. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, we actually had you on our show before, but now we get the pleasure of having you in our studio.
Yeah, it's my pleasure too.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll kind of talk about what we're going to be talking about.
Well, I have been a family therapist for 22 years.
Not too long, huh?
Yeah. And I have a practice right here nearby in Westlake Village.
Very good.
Across the
Yeah, she's one of my neighbors.
Steve's,
yeah.
Office.
There you go.
So it's been great. And I work primarily with children and teenagers and helping them through a family systems approach to therapy.
Oh, great. I'm really excited to hear more about it. And you have a new book that just came out, right?
Right. The book is called Suffer the Children, The Case Against Labeling and Medicating and an Effective Alternative. That was published by W.W. Norton in April and will be soon appearing in paperback.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
With even a new title.
Now, is this your first book?
It's my second
book. Yeah, okay. What was your first book?
My first book was called In the Therapist's Mirror, Reality in the Making. It was a little bit more theoretical, more for therapists. The present book is more for parents, for pediatricians, for therapists as well, for teachers. It's written in a more conversational style.
Oh, good. I'm really excited to, to be able to talk with you and share what you've written. And for anybody that's just tuning in right now, I want to let you know that most of my listeners, if you were just listening to 1520 and you all of a sudden are going, what the heck happened? You know, it's the Kim Pagano Show now. I want you to know that my listeners are all about looking good, feeling good, and doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a positive talk radio show. So I'd love you to stay in. And
you know, it's such a unique format, I think. I mean, it seems so obvious. But when I flip through the AM dial and go from talk radio to talk radio, I hear this anger and this vitriol all across the dial. And it's scary to me. And that's not how I want to fill my head, stuff.
This
you know,
is so true. You know, it's funny. I went to, I'm going to recap a little bit of my weekend, but I was at a Chambers on, I guess it was Thursday or Friday. I don't even know, but many.
You've been busy.
Yeah, like incredible people there. And everybody is like, positive talk. We need more positive. I mean, we need that.
Yeah.
I mean, and what a great way to start your day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. And, you know, there's political things going on right now. There's recession. Our gas is like through the roof.
Yep.
You know, but how can we look at that we're still blessed that we're waking up every day?
There's a positive spin on everything. And the thing that always gets me about the gas prices is, yeah, it pinches everybody. It pinches me too. But it's a pinch. It's not a sock in the jaw.
There you go.
You know, in England, they're paying $8, $9, $10 a gallon equivalent to what we're paying. And the cost of driving in European countries is a extraordinarily high compared to what we're paying here. And yet, if you were living in Venezuela, your gas would be about a quarter a gallon, literally about 25 cents a gallon, because the government subsidizes everything in Venezuela as far as the oil goes. So it's all perspective. It's where you're at. We live in the United States. We live in a great country, in a great world with wonderful people around us. And when it gets a little tighter, we just have to gain that perspective and remember that we don't have it as bad as many, many people do.
We really have to look on the bright side of things. I mean, really, if you just take your life and really feel blessed for whatever you have in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a funeral yesterday, you know. That's the flip side. Really feel, you know, I mean, just enjoy your ride, your journey, mm-hmm. and enjoy the
even
people.
Even if it's a bumpy one.
It is a little bumpy, but, you know, I mean, this is it. It's real. So anyways, I am so glad you have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show. I want to let you know a few ways that you can get in touch with us on my website, kimpaganoshow.com. You can actually listen live there and stream my show today. And mm-hmm. all the time. Also, you can listen to all my past shows, and you know, then that's another great way, so you can kind of go back, and if you've missed something, they're always posted there. Also, you can go on to Facebook and become one of our fans, like us.
So the Kim Pagano Show,
right,
on Facebook. You know, I wanted to ask you about that, because I've had a couple of people want to connect with me because of the show. And they want to connect with me on my regular Facebook page. I have, you know, just my Stephen Trudeau page, which is me, my friends, and my family. And I know that fans sometimes want to connect. And maybe I don't necessarily want to let them see my baby pictures, you know, that I have posted up on Facebook or, you know, whatever. My
candidates. Where would you like them to connect with you?
You know what? I have a Dr. Stephen Trudeau page.
Right.
So if you want to get in touch with me, go to the Dr. Stephen Trudeau page.
I think just I like, posted that online today.
Yeah, yes. And when people want to get in touch with you, they go to the Kim Pagano Show on Facebook.
On Facebook, exactly.
And it's wonderful. It's a great page. There's lots of great comments. There's always updates about what's going on there.
That's right.
And then the links back to your website where all the past shows are listed. So if you missed any show on any topic that you want to go back and listen to, go to the kimpaganoshow.com.
Right. Also on Twitter, Kim Pagano Show.
You
there.
Are everywhere.
So you know what? And I try to just keep getting out there. And
yeah.
It's, you know, it's been a great, you know, Polly was in here. You weren't on my show that day, but she did a stand-up talk in regards to becoming an adult in our family and how the dynamics start to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over at a really great winery out in Oxnard here, Magna Villa. So another really great place. So, you know, I've just been really reaching out, and it's just been amazing to meet the people that are so positive about listening to our show.
And you have the most amazing listeners. They love to check in with us, and they email us and send us questions and all that. And if you're out there right now and you'd like to join in the conversation, tell us a little story about something positive this morning, 805-639-0008. That's 805-639-0008.
That's right. We've got Dr. Marilyn Wedge and Dr. Stephen Trudeau.
Yeah, call us with a parenting question. You got two experts in the.
There you go.
Well, three experts. We got a mom over here, mom of four kids. If that doesn't qualify you as an expert, nothing does.
Four kids, yeah. And I am a hair therapist. So, and that's really what I look at is look good, feel good, do good. You know, it's all about how you feel inside and knowing your gifts that have been given to you that nobody else can take those from you.
Right.
And that's really what I do, you know, talk about on my show every day is knowing your gifts, knowing what you love about yourself, knowing how you can express yourself through your journey. So I know we have our first guest on right now, and this is going to be kind of interesting too. Ina, Lipkowitz, is that right?
Lipkowitz.
There you go. And her book is Words to Eat By, Five Foods and the Culinary History of the English Language.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, Ina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very good. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Well, thanks for having me. I was just listening to your discussion of knowing your loves, knowing your passions, working with them. Well, my loves are... Many people share them. Food is one of them, and words is another. And I thought, why not bring them together? After all, the only way you get to foods is through the names of them, isn't it?
This is very true.
On a menu, in a supermarket, in order to get to that food, you first have to go through the name of the thing.
Okay.
And I'm so intrigued by how these names affect us, affect our emotions, our attitudes, what we bring to those food words.
Do you mean like the names of food, like, hey, what do you want to go out for, Chinese or Mexican tonight?
Well, that's partly, but even more specifically, for instance, I'll give you an example. What's the difference between a pie and a tart?
Ooh, a pie and a tart.
Well,
I like both of them.
I was just going to say yes.
Pie is one of the world's perfect
foods.
Well,
a pie would be something that feeds a lot of people, right? And a tart is an individual tart?
It could be. It's a little bit fancier. A single serving, more elegant. I think that most people, like at Thanksgiving, they serve an apple pie. They wouldn't serve an apple tart. I think they react to the name of the thing often.
Never thought about that.
You know, like you have a red and white checked apron on, and it's cooling in the windowsill, but it conjures up. You know what I mean. Leave it to Beaver thing. And a tart sounds so much fancier. But when you think about it, they're really very similar. So why do we react to one word differently than to another? And there are so many such instances.
Well, you know, I'm looking at one of your samples right here, and why we call pork chops not pig chops. Okay, that really makes a lot of sense.
And it goes throughout the whole language of meat. So pork, which, by the way, is related to a French word, and we love anything in French. We react to those words in a whole other way. And pig comes to us from the Germanic side of our language. English always has two ways to say things. One is Germanic, one is French.
You know,
and the French one, like tart or pork, make us feel a lot better about the food.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm really glad that they say pork instead of pig. I probably would never be able to eat it because I love pigs. I used to collect them. But, you know, now why do we do lamb chops?
Well, it's the same thing. You know, lamb also,
right,
when you think
exactly.
about it. When I live in New England. You're in Los Angeles.
Correct.
When I moved to New England from New York, I went to the supermarket and I saw they weren't called leg of lamb, but lamb legs.
Right.
And I thought, oh my gosh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But why?
It's the associations we make with
right.
it, I guess. I mean, we're so used to eating our chicken in nugget form without any bones that...
Right, and to think that it really was like a bird that had wings and a head and all of that. We don't want to think about that.
No.
So we put the meat, we give it a French name, and it sounds nicer, like beef.
Yeah.
There's no animal called a beef. It's a cow.
Right.
But give it beef comes from the French boeuf, and it sounds better.
Right. What about leeks?
Leeks. Now, there's a fun one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the difference between fruits and vegetables. Why are fruits, sexier?
Oh, they're sexy to you?
There's another
Okay, that's a whole other show.
There's plenty of art out there where a woman is eating a peach, where there's very few, you know, things where a woman is, you know, eating a head of broccoli, you know.
It's, no, it doesn't have the same appeal, does it? No.
You're getting
and
worse.
Also, you know, it
worse
to be
and worse.
A fruit. Yeah, you can't see Adam and Eve being tempted by a rutabaga, you know.
Or a beet.
It has to be a fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit is sweet. We like sweet. At least most people prefer sweet.
Right.
The word, did you know that the word fruit actually comes from a Latin word that meant pleasure? Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Huh?
Yeah, it really does. People forget. There are histories and words that make so much sense out of them. So fruit means pleasure. Vegetable is like vigilant. Grow up. Be alert. That's what the word comes from. It grows. So I think fruit is sweet. Babies respond to sweet, and most adults continue to like sweet. As you say, it's a lot sexier than vegetables.
Now, what made you decide to write a book about words to eat by?
I know. It's a good question, isn't it?
I wonder sometimes why we do things.
Yeah, what triggers us,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, what triggers it? Well, as I started off by saying, I love food and I love words, and I guess I just love scratching the surface of things and finding the history under them. To me, history is what makes things come to life. It explains them. Mm. So, for instance, why is it that garlic is named after the leek? Did you know that? The lick comes from leek.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I know it's
so
called the stinking rose.
Oh, I like that restaurant.
I look at words and I just think, where do they come from and why? And why in the English language do we always like it if the word comes from French? What's wrong with those old English words? We look down on them, but we can't do without them. So in my brain, which is some sort of weird melting pot, all these ideas come together.
So you married them. You know, and I think that, you know, I'm going to go back to
following
your passion. You know, if you go and figure out, you know, you love food, you love words, why not put a book together? There you go. How successful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. What about this concept you have here of the adult milk prejudice? What is that?
Oh, that's alive and well. I was just an article in this morning's Boston Globe about that. It's very timely. Milk is a funny one because most people, I bet, have it at home at this very moment.
I had a large glass of milk this morning.
Well, milk is not one of my favorite things.
See, you two are very interesting. One of you said, yeah, I had a large glass this morning, and the other, no, I wouldn't drink it.
Exactly.
Most people give it to their children, assuming it to be the great thing for kids, but they themselves only put it over cereal or in their coffee or something like that. If you were to go out to dinner, would you order a glass of milk?
Never.
No way.
Sometimes.
Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, although I'm fond of the Sauvignon Blancs. I agree with you. I think most people keep milk at home and don't drink it as much when they're out in public, which I find very interesting.
So it's a private drink. It's private. That's funny.
Do you remember the Donnie and Marie show?
Yeah.
I remember they used to make a big deal out of that. They would, you know, they'd be in a skit and, you know, be a Western skit, and Donnie would walk in with all of his, you know, Western gear on.
And he'd have a big glass of milk?
Let me have a glass of milk. And everybody would snicker, and he'd say, in a dirty glass.
I didn't know that.
And that is
a perfect example of what I'm talking about. People laugh because it seems so weird that a tough guy would drink milk. But if he were Scandinavian, there'd be no funny part to it. It wouldn't be a joke because everybody drinks milk there.
Well, I am a quarter Norwegian, so maybe that's where it comes from. Yeah.
No, you know, it's funny. I have to have it ice cold.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, me too.
That's
yeah,
a definite. It has to be in cereal or maybe with an Oreo cookie.
Exactly.
You know, that is it. Other than that,
public.
Yeah,
if you're having whatever it is you like to eat when you go out, you're going to order your Chardonnays.
I guess it's a comfort food, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
The funny thing about it is the people who call it by a word that begins with M, like the English, milk, the Germans, Milch, the Norwegians, Mjölk, any of those words, they keep drinking it. Or they, you know, a lot of the Northern Europeans, whereas you call it by an L word, like Leche, Lei, Latte, Lapte, that's Southern Europe, they stop drinking it.
Huh.
It's very interesting in that way.
Huh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, here's another thing. Why are the best jams have always come from England when we have the most fruit out here?
I know. Well, they have so little fruit. Tradition. They have to make the most of that flavor, right?
Yeah.
There was a poet laureate who wrote a wonderful essay about this, and he had some great lines. His claim, and he made it humorously, but I think there's something to it. There's so little fruit that's indigenous to England. So they take that they have, and they preserve it. You know, they don't have a lot of sunlight throughout the year. So they take what they have, they preserve it with a lot of sugar. They make it sweet and juicy, and you have these wonderful preserves.
Wow, very cool.
If it grew all year long, you wouldn't have to preserve it.
Well, there you go. Well, this seems like a really interesting book. Where would we find your book?
Well, I always like to support local independent bookstores. So go into your
Bless you.
Independent bookstore.
And that's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, I really love them. I was just in California last week in Bishop, California, the small town near the Sierras.
Right outside of Mammoth Mountain.
Yes, and they had wonderful bookstores. You know that? Yeah. There was a used one and a new one, and it was such a delight to look in them. So whenever possible, I go to local bookstores, and if it isn't there, order it. Make me happy and order it.
You
look for
it.
The book. It's called Words to Eat by Ina Lipkowitz.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ina, for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right. Well, all right. If you are just joining us right now, I'm so glad that you are starting your day with us. It's a positive talk, a great way to start your day. And we're going to take a really quick break. We've got Dr. Stephen Trudeau. We've got Dr. Marilyn Wedge in here. We're going to be talking about her book, Suffer the Children, The Case Against Labeling and Medicating an Effective Alternative.
Give us a call with your parenting questions, 805-639-0008.
That's right. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I just finished meeting with the realtor, and she says we can't sell Dad's house without a court order.
What do you mean?
The realtor said we had to have a probate. It can take more than a year to complete and cost more than $20,000.
What are we going to do?
I'm attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who did not plan accordingly. A probate proceeding can cost families thousands of dollars in wasted costs and attorney's fees, leave families feeling helpless. Let me show you how I can save your family thousands with a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollars. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past just a good
guy. Isn't that cool?
It was really cool. I was like sitting on the beach somewhere, okay? No,
well, Teach Your Children by Crosby, Stills,
yeah,
and Nash.
Yeah, I mean, and really that's what it's all about. And I am so glad that you are starting your day here. A positive way to start your day with the Kim Pagano Show, adding value every day in every way. And we have Dr. Stephen Trudeau is in our studio, of course.
Indeed. Motivational. I'm here to motivate you.
That's right.
I'll get you pumped up.
You are on it today, aren't you? I could tell. Gosh, I love that. And, of course, we also have joining us today Dr. Marilyn Wedge from Westlake. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. And,
you know, if people don't know my philosophy by now, I mean, maybe, I guess, new people tuning in or whatever.
Of course, we always have new people.
What is this Motivational Monday thing is that I'm just so over the whole I Hate Mondays thing. You know, that's been done for a long time. Ever since I was a kid, I remember people saying, oh, God, I hate Monday. And I said, why not? Monday is the perfect start to your week. You know, I've got things to do, people to meet, goals to accomplish, art projects to get involved in. You know, I can hardly wait to get to Friday, and then I'll relax on the weekend. Well, maybe I won't. But
You know, it's interesting because my son was racing, and congratulations to him. He got second.
Wow, great for him.
Yeah,
great for him.
Which
awesome.
Is great. So we're really excited about that. And the first guy that won, he was like a 5-time world champion.
Wow.
So it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, I just spent my day and my weekend. It was full. I mean, full to pack to the brim. And that's what, you know, unless I'm like, I can't get out of bed, I want things to do. I'm looking for things to go in and new experiences and stuff. Last night we went over to the Civic Center. They have a great, shows over there. We saw Young Frankenstein.
Oh, nice.
I took my 15-year-old and he's like, Mom, really? How long is this thing? You know? And by the end of the time, and it's funny because we actually inherited front row seats.
Oh, my.
And so I said, we don't really have that great of seats. And as you're walking in, he's like, we're kind of getting closer to the stage, you know? And he goes, Mom, seriously, front row? But it was really cool because the orchestra was right down below.
Sure.
And he was able to watch. He loves to play the drums. And he was like, oh, my God, we're right in front of the, you know.
Yeah.
But it was such a fun show. And there's just so many things to do right
there.
See,
you know, that's the thing right there. You expose your child to something that he normally wouldn't have exposed himself to. And in a different format, a lot of people see the movie Young Frankenstein, but here it is on stage. And you've given him a whole different perspective. You've expanded his consciousness by that one act. And who knows what doors you've opened for him.
Yeah, because he was really interested in finding out how do they know when to play exactly the same time as the show?
That's what a conductor's
for. And I said,
it's for.
practice. And he's like, I think I want to do that.
Yeah.
It was like it opened up another thing. So you never know. I mean, and it's interesting. And, you know, it's funny because my husband was out of town. But I went and did everything that I still wanted to do.
You're a great mom.
Well, but not only that, is there's places that, you know, like I walked into the winery. And it was, mm-hmm. I met a really nice couple. I hope they're listening out there. A big shout out to them. People are interesting to me, you know. And I heard they are, you know. And I heard something that you want to be interested instead of interesting.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in other people, mm-hmm. you're going to learn from other people.
And be interested in your kids.
That's right. And yeah. I am. And, you know, I'm so excited because I got to share different times with each one of them.
Yeah.
So, and of course, you got to make time for all of them.
Yeah.
Right. So,
well,
yeah.
Let's roll up our sleeves here. I want to do a little mental jousting here with Marilyn.
I know.
She's controversial. Her idea, and I'll let you expand on it, is that we're over-labeling and over-medicating our children on almost every dimension.
We sure are, and it's kind of unique in the developed world. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Europe, they don't do this. For just one little fact that I just came across yesterday, in this country, the percentage of children who are labeled and medicated with ADHD mm-hmm. is 5% of children, 5% of all children in this country. In France, it's 0.5%, 100-fold less.
See, now, I would say that that's because our methods of detecting this are better.
Well, our methods of detecting this are broader. The label applies to what the French would say is our behaviors of normal childhood.
Okay.
So I think what we've done is taken normal childhood behavior and put a diagnosis on it in order to sell more drugs.
Indeed.
So hold on, okay, both of you. And I'm really excited about this talk because I do have a son that's ADD, and mm-hmm. he does take medication for it. And we've gone without it, and we've gone with it. So I got both sides of you here.
Yeah.
So you're saying, Dr. Marilyn Wedge, that you think that he could stop taking his medication and still have a successful life?
Well, only with certain changes to his environment, to his social environment.
Okay.
And there's two points here. First, ADHD meds, of course they work. Psychoactive stimulant medication mm-hmm. works to help anyone concentrate.
It does.
College students take stimulants during exam time. During World War II, radar operators used Ritalin and those kind of drugs to stay awake during repetitive and boring tasks. So it's for sure it works. Psychostimulants would help me focus better, would help anyone focus better. So there's no doubt your son is getting help. Now, depending on how long it has gone on, then I believe that making certain targeted changes to the social context, whether at home or at school, mm-hmm. can help a child focus more clearly.
Yeah.
So you have children that you obviously see in your practice, right? That you've mm-hmm. walked them, maybe they've come to you having taken medicine and now you have them off of it and you've changed their environment?
Yes, exactly. That's true. I have just recently, it's fresh in my mind, a young girl who was taking different medications. She was diagnosed with, she's 16 years old and was diagnosed with bipolar disorder mm-hmm. and an eating disorder. She was taking 4 psychotropic medications, terrible meds. And what I did in working with her parents and taking the pressure off her, she is 2 months later not taking a single medication.
So did she have bipolar?
No, of course not.
See, I do think that mm-hmm. so many doctors just fill their prescriptions.
Yeah.
Right.
And they see them only for a certain amount of time, maybe 40 minutes, maybe a half an
hour.
15. Okay,
15.
Well, we actually have, you know.
You got a good one.
Yeah, we do have a good one, exactly. But you're right. They don't see the interaction of them at home. They don't see their traumas.
Right.
They don't see any of that. They're going on what we tell them.
And to be fair, parents have also been demanding solutions, medication solutions, because they've grown up in this chemical age where there is a chemical solution to almost every problem. If your car knocks and pings, all you have to do is add a gas additive to it. But you know, we've overprescribed the antibiotics to the point to where now pretty much everybody's on board with that. That you know, the antibiotics are now creating an environment that where superbugs can take place. So we've got to be careful of that.
You know, I just want to let anybody know, because this is like an incredible topic that we're talking about here. This is our children. This is our future. And this is where, you know, sometimes you get so frustrated that you really, you don't know what else to do. And so you turn to your doctors that you think you trust.
Right.
And they put your kids on all these different medications. And the only thing that I know from my experience is every couple months it starts to, you know, things start to change again. You
have to go
in and change the medication.
Right.
So instead of changing the medication, if you could change your child to help them really know what's
going
on.
Change the environment.
Right.
Change your child's
environment. So I want to learn more about this. I want to give out our phone number here at 805-639-0008. Please feel free to give us a call right now if you have a question and you need advice on something that you're going through, because trust me, it's really a detrimental time. I mean, in our lives for both parents. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes in between marriages because the stress gets beyond.
Oh yes.
I mean, it's a whole family, and not only that, it comes between all the siblings, because all of a sudden it's all their attention is on this one child that can't be helped. But
we call that the identified patient. So we have the acting out child who becomes the identified patient. And what they often serve in the family is a focus for the family. And good attention, bad attention, and they'll take it. And what happens is the rest of the family members don't have to look at their own stuff. And so as long as that person stays, quote-unquote, sick, I'm doing the air quotes here, then we cannot focus on the parents, the individual parents' issues, and or the sibling issues.
Right, and because the drugs actually mute the symptoms, then we don't have to deal with the real problems,
as you were saying. And if we have symptoms and there's a disturbance, they'll say, have you taken your meds this morning? You know, and so we'll blame the meds as the solution and be all end all.
But I have to tell you, okay, to be honest with you, I don't take any medication. I don't want to ever take. So giving my son something was so against me. We tried everything. So I'm really interested in what you're talking about, because if there was another way, I would be in it.
Look, if you have a serious infection, take the antibiotics.
Right.
It's important.
Yeah,
But if you don't, don't take them.
Okay,
just like the top three things.
We actually have a caller, so let's at least. And Nanette, are you there?
Hi, this is Nanette.
Hi.
I've been a health care provider for over 55 years, and I've seen infections that the doctors couldn't get rid of. And just by putting honey into the tummy, she'd had a tumor, and then the infection wouldn't go away down in there. You know, I've seen so many wonderful things, and I've never had a medical bill. My children, I've never taken out insurance for it. My children are 55, 56, and 50, and they've never been to a doctor for anything. You can always, if you just know what to do, you can do it yourself.
Wow, you have that motherly instinct. It really is. There is something
and
about
access
that
to the natural wisdom that's out there. Honey is a natural antibiotic.
Yes, it is.
Right. I heard garlic was also.
Garlic is also.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the strongest. They used it during the war when they didn't have any penicillin, and they were saving these soldiers better than they were with the antibiotics.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That is really. Wow. Thank you so much. Where are you calling from?
Right here in Ventura.
Oh, God. You're not a first-time listener, are you?
No.
Okay. I'm so glad you're calling in. And, you know, I really appreciate that, because that's what it is. It's all we're learning together. There's, you know, many hands make little work.
Yep.
Yes.
And if we all help each other through this journey, that's what it's all about. So I thank you so much for calling in and mentioning that.
People need guidance, and that's all they need.
That's it.
Thanks,
thank you for that.
I appreciate that.
That was a great
day.
Call. Yeah.
All right.
It's a great call. And if you have a comment or a suggestion or a question, 805-639-0008.
That's right. That's right. So, okay, so take us through, you know, we have a child that is acting out, that is showing depression, is showing that he can't concentrate in school. You know, he doesn't want to, he starts to oppositioning, the whole that whole thing. Where, tell us how you would take that.
Okay. Well, I could I use a little example from my
book?
Because there's a wonderful case that a boy that just fits that description, age 5 and a half, Alex was his name. Of course, I don't talk about clients. All the details are disguised so that no one would recognize them, not even themselves. But Alex had a personality change overnight. He was a really good kid and did everything the teacher wanted him to do. And suddenly he began acting out, being oppositional. And nobody understood where it was coming from. And so the parents took Alex to the pediatrician and said, does he have ADHD or ODD? Pediatrician said, well, you know, I think a five-year-old is too young to label and medicate. So why don't you go to family therapy? Doctors out here are starting to get the message, really.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to family therapy, solve your own issues? The parents were very skeptical. They came in. And the father was wearing a cast on his arm, and he had broken his arm, broken his wrist, I think. He was, and he's a professional tennis pro, so he couldn't go to work for 6 weeks. So he was off on disability, and the arm was healing. So I talked to the parents, charming people, and then I talked to Alex, a lovely little boy with big blue eyes. And I said, Alex, sweetheart, what are you worried about? Are you worried about your mommy or your daddy? And he said, well, I'm worried about my daddy because he doesn't have an occupation. I thought, wow, 5 years old, occupation, where'd he get that? And so we talked, and I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, he's not going to work anymore, and we can't buy any toys because we don't have enough money. And there it was.
That was what
opened it up. That was what was bothering him. But children can't always say.
Right.
They can't always verbalize what the problem is.
Yeah.
So I talked to the parents and the father. What does my broken arm have to do with my son's ADHD? Well, let's try some things and see if we can solve it. So I had the parents, number one, stop arguing about money because there was a financial strain in the family with him on disability. I had the father reassure Alex that he was going to get better, that his arm was healing. And I even had him take his son to the tennis club and show him where he worked and introduce him to his friends and colleagues, and just to give Alex a sense of reassurance that that's where he was going to go back to work. Well, after 3 or 4 sessions, Alex went back to normal. He wasn't worried about his daddy anymore.
Wow. Now, that seems like an easy fix right there. You know, I mean, he had something wrong with his elbow.
Right.
You know, the whole thing. You could see that picture in a sense. But I'm talking about, say, a 15-year-old that starts reaching out into drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You start seeing different friends. You start seeing him close himself away from everybody. That, how would you handle something like that? Maybe you've let it go too far. Maybe you don't realize that there was a deeper problem.
Okay. Well, the way I see it, Kim, even with teenagers, and I'm sure you realize this, Steve, you see a lot of teenagers, there is very often a deeper family problem that is bugging them. And I think you said the other day, this boy's personality was very different than his family's way of seeing things.
Right.
There is usually, so even with a teenager, I say, so if you were worried about your mother or your father, which one would it be? And I always get an answer. I get the answer, well, my mom is screaming all the time. Mm-hmm. She's really stressed at work. Mm-hmm. And they're not getting along. My mother hates my grandmother, paternal grandmother. And they fight all the time about grandma. I got this just the other day, that there was fights about an in-law, about the grandmother. And the girl actually said to me, my mother thinks that my father loves his mother more than he loves me, more than he loves her, the mother. And I thought, okay, there's a family war going on, whether it's explicit or implicit.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the parents in. I got that problem settled. I asked the girl, so how is your mother getting on with your grandmother? Oh, everything's better. They seem to be getting along really well. Grandma came over for dinner the other night. Once you get the warring elements calmed down, you solve the problem, the teenager starts to get better.
So, Marilyn, this, if anybody's just joining us right now, I mean, really, this is just amazing talk in here.
Yeah.
And we've got Dr. Stephen Trudeau.
Well, it's very emotional for
it
people.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got Dr. Marilyn Wedge.
Yeah.
And myself.
And her book,
yeah.
Suffer the Children, The Case Against Labeling and Medicating and an Effective Alternative.
Right.
You know, there are many, many cases. And I'm very conservative when it comes to medication recommendations. And, you know, when somebody has cancer, you need to go through the chemo treatment if that's what your doctor recommends. If you don't have cancer but you have a mole on your skin, you don't need to go through the chemo treatment. I think that's the basic philosophy we're talking about here, is the over-labeling and the over-diagnosing and the over-treatment of children. Because they're showing symptoms doesn't necessarily mean they have a dis-ease. They've got a disturbance. And behaviorally and environmentally, we can change so much, and we can adapt around the child to help nurture them to become the best fine young man or woman they can be, instead of saying, well, you didn't concentrate to study for your test, so here's some Ritalin. And that's not to devalue in any way the children that really are very disturbed and do need these medications in order to function while the rest of the piece of the pie is put together. I have seen in my office in 10 years maybe what I considered, honestly, 4 children over those years with true attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And it is unmistakable when you see a kid bouncing off the walls like that and they can't even focus from the beginning of the question to the end of the question, that's a serious disturbance.
But are they already on medication?
No.
Okay, so then you have them recommend.
Well, then I would recommend that they go be evaluated by a competent psychiatrist who will put in the time to really evaluate.
I totally agree with you, Steve.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you. In 22 years of practice, I have referred 2 people for medication, 2 children for medication.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, both of them, it was to avoid a more serious diagnosis.
Yeah.
One was about to be labeled bipolar. The other was about to be labeled autistic. And I thought, this child really could benefit by some stimulant medication.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them that and avoid the diagnosis.
Well, you know, this is really interesting. I want to give out our phone number here again, 805-639-0008. I want to know, and I know we need to take a really quick break, but when we come back, if we can kind of move into the teens. There's a lot of teens that are into drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Oh,
we have suicides, we have depression, we have a lot of cutting.
School dysfunction,
a lot of kids,
cutting.
Do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This is serious stuff. There is kids that, you know, that are going in all those different ways, and I want to really address that. So stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and if you have a question, give us a call here. We are here. I've got 2 incredible therapists in my office, or in my office. I mean, I feel like I'm in my office.
This is the
right
office. 805-639-0008. 805-639-0008.
Right. Stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
Did you hear John down the street passed away? He was so young.
Oh, man, wasn't he a single father?
Yes. I have no idea what they're going to do. What would we do if that happened?
Ooh, who would take care of our kids?
Oh, we really need to get a plan in place, but where do we even start?
I am attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who do not plan accordingly. Making a plan to help your family in the event of a tragedy is very important. Let me help you by answering all your questions and show you ideas on how to plan not for future events, but to protect your family from waste and bad investments through the use of a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free 1 hour, no obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Vigano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
I'm Andrea with Hometown Insurance Services. Allied Insurance is a member of Nationwide Insurance Family. Allied will discount your premiums up to 23% if we insure both your home and auto together. Allied also offers many occupational discounts. Please call Hometown Insurance today for a free, no pressure, no obligation quote. Call us at 850-0380 or stop by our office at 4517 Market Street, Suite 1B in Ventura.
You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Remember to visit the show's official website at www.thekimpaganoshow.com. You can podcast prior programs as well as check out articles and other tidbits from previous interviewees. It's all at the official website of The Kim Pagano Show, www.thekimpaganoshow.com. And now, once again, here's Kim.
So 1, 2, 3, take my hand and come with me because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine.
Welcome back, everyone. And
it's one of my new favorite songs.
You just like music, don't you?
I do. I am a music nut. By a band named Jet.
Oh, there you go. He keeps me informed, I'm telling you.
You're lucky.
I know. I love that. So anyways, we are talking about a serious topic here. I know that I'm going to have you back because, really, I think this is just – I think we need this. We are lost. Our parents are lost out there.
Dr. Marilyn Wedge is with us, and she has a wealth of knowledge about parenting and family systems.
And I love that you guys have kind of two different corners of the world here, in a sense, but they actually are joined.
We have similar philosophies, and of course, I like to, you know, to play the devil's advocate at times. I just love to give my listeners wealth.
That's what it's all about, adding value. I know we have another caller. Sandy, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Sandy.
Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Cool.
Oh, great. And where are you calling from?
Ventura.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
What do you have for us, Sandy?
My question is, we've adopted several children, and I have one biological child that is definitely ADHD, but of the adopted children, 4 of the 5 are ADHD.
Wow.
And I see quite a difference between the one that wasn't on, that I myself was not on drugs, and the other 4, the parents were on drugs or alcohol in pregnancy. Do you see a big difference, and do you see a lot more children with ADHD because of drugs and alcohol their biological parents took?
Well, you know, I think it's a question of how much attention the parents are giving the children. If the parents are zoned out on drugs and alcohol, then you have to ask yourself, how much positive time are they spending with their child?
Well, I think also she's asking about fetal exposure to drugs and alcohol.
Fetal exposure, you know, that's an area that I'm not familiar. Maybe, Steve, you know something
about
that.
Fetal alcohol syndrome and drug-addicted babies are a huge problem. And bless you for adopting. Thank you so much.
Let's not say they're a huge problem. It just, they have a lot of complications, correct?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, right. They do. Unfortunately, there are a very large number of babies that are continuing to be born, and that's why I call it a huge problem with fetal alcohol syndrome and or exposure to stimulants and other harder drugs. And what that does in utero is it really affects the neural development. And so what you have now is a child whose neurology has been affected and its growth by the exposure to drugs in a system that's really damaging.
Right. And do you think they're addicted? They are born addicted.
Some of them are born addicted,
yeah. Even if they're not technically born addicted, the presence of alcohol and or drugs has affected the neural development, so the pathways are not being developed normally. So you have different areas of the brain that are trying to compensate. And you know, that's a large part of the attentional problem, is that you have a part of the brain that's not necessarily built for focusing on attention that is now trying to do the job because that part of the brain's been damaged.
Correct. Sandy, first of all, I want to say what an angel you are.
Oh, my God, yes. Bless you for adopting children. That is such a wonderful gift.
Special.
Yeah,
special.
See, and you feel like you've been blessed, right? They're a gift to your life, and I love that. That's something that... I feel with my children that I've been blessed. Now, do you have history on each one of your children that you adopted?
Pretty much, yes, we got them as infants, and
have you had them tested?
Oh yes,
okay.
Quite a few times. Quite a few different psychologists, psychiatrists, mm-hmm. The school district. Our daughter is fetal alcohol syndrome. She's 28. We were told that she would never get past kindergarten or first grade. She graduated from high school.
Oh.
She's had 4 years of inter college. She only takes a couple of classes a year.
Wonderful.
But she's doing beautifully.
Yep.
But she was off the wall. I mean, just...
But you created a nurturing environment to be supportive, and that is the solution.
What a parent you must be.
Well, yeah. My husband is very supportive, too.
And now, how about your husband? Do you have a great team?
Yes.
That's the team.
If it were for him, there were times when I came home and... He said, what's for dinner? And I said, whatever you fix, because I'm out the door.
What a great husband.
And I call that the teeter-totter, because you need him to lift you when you're down and vice versa,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you're projecting at your home. So what a beautiful family. And I'm so glad that you called up and shared that with us.
One other question before I hang
Please.
Up. You had talked about somebody that one child was going to be diagnosed with bipolar and another was going to be diagnosed autistic. And by working with you, we were able to work that out. Well, I happen to have a biological child that was born 19 years after my other biological child. And the youngest one is 15, and he was or has been diagnosed bipolar and autistic, high-functioning autistic.
Wow.
He's doing great, too. He has A's and B's in Buena High School. But we've also had him tested with many different things. But do you have anything else to say about bipolar and autistic children?
Well, I think it can't hurt if to go to family therapy, and this does two things. It allows the child to get out certain things that they might not be getting out
mm-hmm.
in just at home. You know, kids, 15-year-olds don't always want to talk to their parents, but a family therapist can facilitate
mm-hmm.
That.
Life, yeah.
You know, just getting things off their chest.
A safe place to vent.
Exactly, Steve. A safe place to vent, to say things that they might not feel safe about saying at home.
You know what I think? And, you know, I think that the biggest thing, do your children have youth groups that they go to?
Yes.
Okay. Social skills
oh, what
groups
a good
and things
social
like that.
Skills, because...
I'm in counseling throughout the years.
You do? Okay, yeah, because I think that they need other kids to connect with, because they do feel different.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Kim, is that sociologically we are becoming so much more isolated, and our children are not thriving in isolation.
Right.
What happened when we used to walk with four or five of our pals to school,
yes.
and then we would play on the playground all day long, and then after
yeah.
school do some homework, and then go out and play ball. Now we go in and we play video games all by ourselves. That social isolation, Kim, I think you hit the nail on the head. That
Thank
is
you.
Really a
yeah.
huge factor.
Social skills classes are a wonderful
I
resource.
I think so, too, because
yeah.
I sent my sons to those when they were younger. And I see all of a sudden now as they're teens, you know, they still have some of their old friends, but that's such a hard age where they start to feel alone again.
But I know your kids. And one of the things, the benefits that I see is that they can communicate, maybe loudly sometimes, but they have a vocabulary of words to express their inner world that is uncommon with kids that age. You exposed your kids in that way, and it made a huge difference in how they express themselves.
Well, thank you. And I think that, Sandy, talking to you, I mean, and I would love to talk to you more, is I think that you have made a home safe place for them,
mm.
and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
If you,
sure
the world is scary, it's scary for us as adults. And if you can, I mean, right?
Yeah.
And you make a place that your children always feel that they can come home to. I have great, loving parents, and they always made me feel that I could ask them anything and never feel like
wow.
I didn't know what I was talking
yeah.
about.
No.
You know, like no question was ever silly. And I think if we can make our children feel that way, then, you know, we're giving, that's another gift.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good work, Sandy. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Sandy. I
thank
appreciate
you.
It. Call right. again. Call
Do
again.
Do we have all
Keep
your
listening.
Information, Sandy?
You have a phone number, yes.
Okay, great. Well, I look forward to hearing you and share my show with everybody.
Now, do you have something for the end of the month that you're giving away to your callers?
Yes, I actually, yes. In fact, you're going to be joined in that, so your name goes into that, because I love to give back on my show. So, oh, in fact, wait, Dr. Marilyn Wedge just said that you would actually, she wants to give you her book, Suffer the Children.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it. The case against labeling and medicating and effective alternatives. So there you go.
Thank you so much.
You got it. We'll get in touch with you so you can come and get it.
Share the love.
Thank you.
All right.
Share
thank
the
you.
Information.
That's what it's all about. Gosh, I can't believe. Thank you so much, Sandy. Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Well, gosh. Okay. This is, it's almost done.
Oh, no.
Boy, no, we're already
here. We didn't even get into our other part, so I'm going to have you back because I really, there's so many things I want to talk about. I want to talk about children cutting. I want to talk about, there was a walk in Simi Valley for heroin. Heroin
we have an
huge.
Epidemic of heroin use.
It's
lately.
Huge, yes. And it used to be a dirty word, and now it's our athletes, it's everybody. Yeah. I mean, I want to put it all out there. I want us to be able to talk about this because if we can't talk about it, guess what? We're not going to be able to solve any problems.
We can't be blind to this.
And
so we'll
that's
do
a
it.
Really good point. That's really if we don't get it out in the open, how can we help people?
And that's my conquer. I'm telling you that to my table again. And that's really every time I have something new in my life, I just wonder, okay, where am I going with this? And I know because it's another voice out there to help another
talk
family.
Talk about it takes a village. Huh?
It takes a village.
Right.
Yeah, gosh. Well, I know we're at the end of our show. Where do people find your book, Marilyn?
Oh, it's on independent bookstores or independent bookstores online. It's at public libraries and university libraries.
All right.
It's at, of course, Amazon and all the other online outlets.
Okay, great. So. We're going to have you back. Dr. Stephen Trudeau, you have a book, too, and this is great.
Yeah, my book is called The Special Needs of Parenting, and it deals with being the parent of a special needs child. But I do believe there's a lot of content in there for any parent.
That's great. And, of course, if you missed any part of our show today, remember to listen from 1 to 2 and tune in to my website. If you have a question or you want anything that we talked about, give me an email at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. With that, of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment, and today's is the best motivation always comes from within.
Ooh.
Love it.
That's it. We all know what we need, and just go find the right people to fill that for you. So with that...
And be motivated.
That's right.
Exactly.
With that, I'm Kim. I'm your host, and it's been a delight having you here, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a really great day.
You're unbelievable.